I'm reading to you from Matthew, and it's Matthew 16 through 18, and then it's Matthew 25 through 35. And when you fast, don't put on a sad face like the hypocrites. They distort their faces so people will know they are fasting. I assure you that they have their reward. When you fast, brush your hair, wash your face. Then you won't look like you are fasting to people, but only to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all of these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
I've never fasted very much. What are you laughing at? It's hard to talk about fasting in our culture. I grew up in a house where my mother never would have said anything about my weight, but she was always concerned about her weight. She was always on Weight Watchers trying to lose weight, eating those slim fast things. It was always a struggle for her. She was always doing jazzercise or whatever the fad thing was at the time. She worked harder and ate better than anybody else in the house and struggled my entire youth to lose weight. And so she never would have said anything about my weight, but I grew up self-conscious thinking about weight as an issue. Turns out we didn't find out until she was much older that she had a thyroid issue, and she couldn't lose. Her body was working against her, and so it was not her fault. But, in the 80s, for those of you who weren't around yet, in the 80s, there was a lot. We used to talk about weight in pretty stark terms. We were not nearly as polite as people sometimes pretend to be these days. We talked about blame a lot. It was all about, are people just lazy or what's going on with them, right? And so there was not just this issue about weight, but it was about shame and whose fault was it? And of course, it was always your fault if it was you, right? Like that was always the issue. And nothing much has changed is the core of it. There's still fad diets everywhere, and everybody's talking about it. I mean, I talk to people who, for the most part, have a pretty good self-esteem. We talk about what health means and how health doesn't mean all the things that the culture around us, the world around us, tells us health means. And I still hear them talk about, yeah, but I'd love to lose a couple pounds, right? Because it's so steeped in our culture that even though all of the statistics, all of the science says, if you lose weight quickly, you are statistically almost guaranteed to gain it all back and then some. This is still how there's billions of dollars invested in a weight loss culture. In the middle of that, it is difficult to talk about fasting, right? In a world where the only place you really hear about fasting is people who talk about intermittent fasting as a weight loss technique, it is difficult to talk about fasting. And yet, Jesus talks about it. There are lots of things that come up in the Bible that Jesus never touches on. Jesus had basically three years of active ministry that we read about. Of all that big old book of that is the Bible, four chapters contain words that are attributed to Jesus. So the fact that Jesus mentions it means, okay, we should probably pay some attention to it. But it is odd. The Sermon on the Mount, as it's depicted in Matthew, or the Sermon in the Valley, as it's depicted in Luke, these are probably not teachings that all happened at one time, as it's depicted. Probably these were collections of Jesus's teachings that kind of got grouped together, because otherwise, you know, it's difficult to sprinkle them throughout the narrative and get everything in one place. But it is odd that this passage, this brief mention of fasting, comes after the Beatitudes, which end with, of course, blessed are you when people revile you and speak ill of you for my name's sake. And before this piece about money. No one can serve two masters, for they'll either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Almost seems like this fasting piece, while Jesus mentions it, it almost is like a throwaway line in between these greater teachings that we get about the importance of serving God and not mammon, not the god of money, not this idol of wealth, and this idea of the Beatitudes, the blessings that turn the world, the expectations of the world on its head. Unless you are, like Jesus would have been, familiar with the prophets from the Hebrew Bible, right? Particularly Isaiah. Isaiah 58 is where we get this message very clearly, although it's sprinkled throughout most of the prophets, say it somewhere, someplace or another. But Isaiah 58 is one of my favorite passages, and it's where God is saying to the people, you come to me and you say, God, why is it that we're fasting and you turn your back on us? You don't pay any attention to us. Why would you carry us off into exile when we honored the Sabbath every Saturday? We would put on sackcloth and ashes, and we wouldn't eat anything from sundown to sundown. And why would you? We did everything to be holy. Why would you not? Why would you forsake us? And God says, is that the fast that I ask from you? That you take a day off, that you take 24 hours where you don't eat, and you talk with all your friends about how you're not eating because you are so pious. And what did you do with your food during that 24 hours? You kept it in your pantry. Well, there were people down the street from you who, they were fasting. They'd been fasting for 3 days, not because they were being pious, but because they didn't have food to eat. Is that the fast that I ask from you? That you take a day off from work, that you honor the Sabbath, and you say, I'm not going to do anything on this day. So, servant, go do this for me. Slaves, go out and you better get to work, because otherwise, when I'm done with my Sabbath, I'm going to get up and I'm going to make you regret it, right? Not right now, because I'm taking the day off to be holy. But you better get out there and work. Is that the Sabbath that I've asked from you? That you wear sackcloth and ashes for a moment and ignore the people at your gates who have no choice, have nothing to wear but sackcloth and ashes, and you ignore them? Is that the Sabbath? Is that the fast that I've asked of you? Or is it this, that you care for those who have nothing around you, that you care for those who are oppressed, that you ease the burdens of those who are struggling, that you remove the yoke of the slave, that you actually change your world in order to make it more like I have told you from the beginning you're supposed to make it look like, to make it more just. Friends, if you want to take a day and fast, that's fantastic. But do so that you can remember what it feels like to be hungry and remember what it feels like to be one of those folks who are hungry all the time, and then do something different. If you come and tell me, especially we get this a lot during Lent, if you come and tell me, you know, Pastor, I've given up Netflix for Lent, right? You know, it's hard. It's hard. They got some good shows that are coming out this month, but I gave it up because Jesus. But you just took that money and renewed your Disney Plus subscription so you could catch up on those shows, right? Lent's just about enough time to catch up on the shows you're missing on some other subscription, and then you can cancel it at the end of the month, right? Because you're all caught up, right? That's not it. That's not it. Now, if you canceled your Netflix subscription and took the time that you were spending on Netflix in order to pray and spend that time with God and then respond by doing something different in your life, okay, now we're getting closer to it, right? Now we're getting nearer to the point. Jesus says, don't fast and tell everybody, oh, things are so hard. But find a space where you can let go of that thing. And let that just be your life. Find your joy, that joy that isn't dependent on whether or not you have a full belly, but maybe that joy that drives you to say, if this is what it takes for others to have food, I can be a little more hungry than I've been, right? I can do this. I can do this a little bit if it means somebody else gets to eat. Then it makes more sense when we read this piece about don't worry about your life, about what you'll eat or what you'll drink, because, hey, consider the birds. The birds of the air don't, when they find a fruit tree, they don't fly to that fruit tree and then start chasing off the other birds to say, like, hey, I'm going to get mine, and then I might need those other berries for tomorrow, right? No, they eat what they need today, and they trust that when that runs out, that there will be another tree at some point. And are there winters? Yeah. Are there lean times? Absolutely. And yet, we still have birds, right? Because God provides. Now, the difficult thing about this teaching, when we get to the end and Jesus says, so don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you'll wear. God knows you need these things. God will give them to you. We read this and we think, but we know that there are people who don't have food to eat. Every day, I get people who come into the church and I sit down and talk with them, or Diane sits down and talks with them on Mondays, or Sue sits down and talks with them on Thursdays, or Julie sits down and talks with them on Wednesdays, or we get people who come into the church, or we get phone calls, and we're talking with folks who are telling me, I can't pay my rent. I don't have enough food on the table to feed my kids. Right? And so we look at this scripture and we think, what's going on, God? Why haven't you, Jesus told us that you would provide. Why haven't you provided? And to the best of my ability, what I believe God is saying to me is, I did provide for them. That food's just in your pantry. Right? I did provide. There's plenty in this community. Right? The question isn't, why haven't I provided for the poor, for those who don't have enough? Sometimes when we ask God the hard questions, we got to be careful, because God turns around and asks us the same question. And so I'll tell you the fast that I think God is calling me to right now. It's this fast of comfort. The fast where I get to say, it's a fast of being able to say, that's not my problem. Somebody comes in and they ask for help, and hey, when we've got it, when it's in the pastor's fund, we help where we can. And that fund runs out quick. And then we immediately, when somebody comes in, I'll often have to say, okay, here are the three places I recommend you call. And then they're used to this. And then you say, and good luck, right? And then you get back to what you were doing. No. Then you say, and when you call them, call me back. Because here's the thing. What you need in order to get through, and what you need to survive, it is in our community. And so the idea that you are alone in this struggle, the idea that you have to figure it out, that you, it's just you against the world trying to find out how you're going to stretch $100 into $1,000, that is false. So I can't always fix the problem. I can't control everything. I got to give that up, right? There's a fast for you. I got to give up the idea that I can fix a thing, and I got to give up the idea that I either get to fix a thing or I get to ignore the thing. I can't fix it, but I also don't get to ignore it, because the person who's in the middle of it, they can't fix it, but they don't get to ignore it, right? We are all in this thing together. And here's the piece. This isn't because I'm driven by guilt. This is a sermon series on joy, y'all, because here's the joy. If I do this, if I give generously, if I put myself in the work and I struggle with folks and we give to each other, we take care of each other, I take care of each other and then my money runs out, or I have to file bankruptcy because I got sick unexpectedly, right? Which is the number one cause of homelessness in our country right now, unexpected illness. Something happens, and all the silos, the grain, the barns I built up around me to collect the things that the good gifts that God has given me, they are not enough to keep me from losing my safety net, my security in this world. If I have sown into my community, who's going to look after me? Who? The community. This is how God created. This is the kingdom of God. Where is God? In us, in you, in me. I got a little extra. God's in me. I give. Why? Because then when I run out, you all get. This is how we get through. This is who we were created to be. This is the joy that sustains. I hit hard times. That's okay, because it ain't just me, right? May we all find that fast to which God has called us. The joy that isn't dependent on good times, but that sees us through hard times together with Christ, with each other. Amen.